Our plan this morning is just to share some scripture with you, and what we would like for you to do is just be immersed in the moments. Just let the word of God wash over you as we tell the story of his son coming to earth to be with us, to identify with us. And we're going to share it in song as we already have done so far, and we're going to share a few scripture with you as well. I don't know what "bull" means, but it sounds really good. It helps me get myself calibrated here this morning. So let's pray together and we'll begin. Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you for your son who you sent to this earth, Lord, to identify with us, connect with us, Father, to die on the cross for our sins. Thanks for his life. Thanks for his birth and his life and his death, his resurrection, Lord. Thanks that he is seated with you and all the hope that that means and all the hope that it gives us. And I pray today, Lord, as we share your word through song, through scripture, pray that you would encourage us all and draw us near to you. We need you, and we thank you for being there for us always. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged their nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulder, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow. Say that with me. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of God Almighty will accomplish this. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her till she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone all around them, and they were scared to death. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everyone everywhere. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly this huge crowd of angels appeared with that angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Say that with me, will you? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they told everyone everywhere everything that the angels told them about this child. And everyone who heard them were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. They returned praising God and glorifying him for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was really furious, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then he called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they saw when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Well, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and coming to the house, they found the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their countries by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for the land of Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When King Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had heard from the Magi. And then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing comfort because they are no more." Well, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he learned that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and apart from him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was light to mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness will not, cannot overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. See, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to all mankind was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and though he made the world didn't even recognize him. And he came to his own people, but they wouldn't even receive him. But to everyone who would receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or a husband's decision or human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. As some have written, God took on flesh and blood, skin and bones, and moved into our neighborhood. He hung out with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you say that with me? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your precious Son. Thanks, Father, that you took on flesh. That he was sent here for our connection with you, for our understanding what you really thought of us, Lord. Thanks for caring. Thanks for being moved on our behalf. But Father, we are so changed by the story. Our whole story is changed by the story. And we thank you so much for this time today to just listen to your word, to sing to you in song, God. And I pray that you would continue to move among us this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. It's interesting to me that when Jesus could have come any way he wanted to come, he was the Son of God. He could have shown up as some great celebrity, you know. He could have been born in a palace with private doctors and a nursing staff and completely apart from humanity, that nobody could touch him. He could have been somewhere that was totally, totally away from any kind of, he could have been totally insulated. And he could have had the majesty as though we totally think about, we would think about him, this idea that he was separate and, further, higher than us, better than us. But the Son of God, the real King of Kings, the real Lord of Lords, not a prince of this earth, not a president, not some king in some kingdom of another country, but the mighty King, the Holy One, chose to be born in a manger. He chose to be born in a stable, a feeding trough, even, for animals. And the whole story was so that we would get, that he gets us. So that I would understand that he understands me. So that I would know that when he walks, he doesn't float above the earth. He really walks on the ground. And when he's in the storm walking on the sea, he's not floating above the sea. He's walking on the waves. That he really experienced the experience I experience. He was born in a stable, and I'm sure there was cow manure or sheep manure and things like that all around him. Because isn't that what he took on for us? He walked through our mess to save our sin. And so, as we go through these next few weeks, and maybe it'll change our lives forever. Instead of us wondering what's going to happen to our neighbor and how our friends are going to get this story, and instead of wondering how in the world we can change our government and change the world, what if we just let the story change us? What if for once it really changed me? Not just the story I tell you, and not just what ticks me off about the world. And no offense, I agree with what was said earlier, but I'm saying, what if we individually, as Mark said, what if Jamie changed because of the story? And what if my approach to the world changed? And my approach to my neighbor? What if I really understood that Jesus came in the manger so that I would know he truly gets me? Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. What if I really felt my worth today? It's not about my job. It's not about my status in the world. It's not about my bank account or where I live. It's about when this all washes out, Jesus has died to settle everything for me. And that should settle everything right now. He appeared and the soul felt its worth. As you go through the next few days, just be moved and be changed. Let God make you different if he needs to. Some of you are pretty awesome anyway, okay? All of you are pretty awesome. Sorry about that. As we go into this time of invitation, there's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium here. And there's some good guys. You're totally safe with them. If you have a desire to respond in any way, just walk up and tell them what's going on, man. I need prayers for this. I'm struggling with this. Whatever the case, and they'll be glad to pray with you and encourage you. Or if you want to become a son or a daughter of God, what a good day. What a great day to be baptized into his name. Whatever you desire, why don't you come as we stand and sing.